Yo, what's up, everyone? It's your boy, Mems. Welcome back to another episode of The High Files, where we get weird, dive into the unexpected, and go off on some wild tangents. You know how we do. No filter, no scripts, just real talk. Whether we are talking about the latest conspiracy, that show you binge-watched last night, or the mysteries of the universe, we're here to keep it interesting. And hey, to all our fellow high filers out there, if you want to add something to the conversation, have a special request, or just want to hit us up, you can email us at thehighfilespodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. So roll with us, and let's see where today's rabbit hole takes us. Are you ready? All right, let's get into it.
Someone's touched my microphone.
Yeah, that was me. I moved everything, wiring. Oh, shit had to go right.
But hell.
Tell you what, you should be able to hear yourself fine. If you hear yourself fine through the headphones, it's probably coming fine through the pod.
Well, every time we do this, I sound fine here, and then we listen to the pod and I sound like a fucker. I sound like Lois out of Family Guy. Oh, Peter.
No,
oh my God, Memla.
That's how
Mem's
you...
mate. They're fucking. I'm just like, what? What's going on here? You sound the same and I sound different.
Huh? That's how you sound.
What?
In the when I listen back, that's how you sound. That's
all right, homie.
This is my ship.
This is how I talk now. Oh, that sucks.
It sounds fine to me.
Yeah, I guess it's just like my own personal. You know, so the brain is the most self-appreciating organism in your body.
Yeah, everything else just fucks itself.
Yeah, but the brain makes it fuck itself.
Does it?
Yeah.
No, that's true. Well, it can't operate without it. It's just part of it.
Yeah, but it's self-depreciating.
Like, oh, self-depreciating. I thought you said self-appreciating.
No, self-depreciating.
Like, hey.
That's why you always think like you're not good enough and stuff like that. Always you can look at your best friend and be like, oh no, I think that's really good. But then if you do the same thing, you're like, oh, that sounds like shit. And you're a lot harder on yourself.
Yeah. No, that makes sense now. Now you said, like, now I know what you said.
Because you want to uplift your friends.
Yeah.
Right? But for yourself, no matter what anyone else says, you're like, oh, that wasn't good enough.
Yeah, but there's people around that actually fucking, what's wrong?
I'm out of whack. Like,
just move the mic arm is very movable.
I know, but I'm like a little piss way. I don't want to fucking break it. Oh, look, hear that?
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
That sounds like me fucking getting an erection.
This is old creaking wood.
Fucking hell.
Oh, you know what it could be?
Yeah.
It could be the Velcro connecting, holding the wire up.
Very nice. Good success. Hold up. I think that's good. I don't know. I just sound like a nasally fuck anyway.
Yeah. You're fine. You're fine. What we were saying,
We're talking about Ghostbusters.
No, this is just music in the background. We can't talk about it.
I thought I was having an aneurysm.
Ah, sorry. Fuck, what were we talking about? It was important because I was going to be like, there's people that actually are. Oh, no, we said.
Oh, self-depreciating organism.
Yeah, the brain's.
Your
brain's like, nah, fuck you, you piece of shit. You need to be better. There's actual people that have the other side of their brain is like, yeah.
You're the best.
You are the best. There is no one else better than you. Yeah. These people are worse than you. These scum, I look down on them. They are the sorry people.
Actually, I wouldn't say Kanye. I would say Kanye got manipulated by like Hollywood people.
Say allegedly.
No, I would
know
not
what
say.
They're lying.
Okay, you can cut this out because this might be controversial. But the person who put fucking Michael Jackson into a coma is now the doctor for fucking Kanye. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, maybe he just thought.
No,
but maybe he's just like, damn, he will prescribe anything and I am down.
No, it was. I'm just saying.
We're being speculative.
Yeah,
fine.
Cut all this out.
No, I'll cut out a few words.
Like what?
You'll get the idea of it. I'll cut out some names.
No. This is the land of the woke and the free now, brother.
No, we're the sorry people.
We are the sorry people.
Yeah.
Because we're not on the right side of bullshit.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what?
Yeah. Keep it.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Damn.
Anyway.
I don't want to waste too much time because this fucking three episodes of... I was going to say Seinfeld.
So good.
X-Files.
So good.
Oh, bro. The middle one, I didn't like so much, but...
The middle one you didn't like so much?
I didn't like it so much as the other episodes that were on.
You liked one and three better than two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hang on. Maybe it was the first one that I didn't like as much. Jesus.
Are we talking about Wayne Barry? Notes. Are we talking about Preacher? Because that doesn't give anything
it was
away.
Preacher, yeah. Yeah. It was, yeah. Episode the first one. Episode was, yeah, a bit more. Well, it was good.
It was really good.
It's, yeah, it was good.
But in comparison, oh, it doesn't look that good anymore, does it?
Yeah.
It was fucking insane.
Look, the marks I gave episode one from tonight's lineup was not, it was pretty mids. And I've already thought, because I've already thought about it. Higher than 50, lower than 87.
It was, I would say this is a higher than 80 episode, like easily. This was a really good episode.
We might do some arguing later.
Oh, that's fine. We can do that.
So you're going to talk about episode one.
Yes, sir.
The lead up.
Mm-hmm. All right, picture this.
I'll give you some sound effects.
All right. Yeah. Just do it in post, mate. Picture this, everyone. You're an old man.
Yeah.
You're like Hugh Hefner. You're in your nightgown. You're in your, like, you're a rich man. You're in your apartment. You feel powerful. You've been drinking wine. You had some fucking scallops and shit or some whatever. You know, rich people shit. I wouldn't know. I'm the sorry people.
I love scallops.
Yeah, me too.
The idea of them anyway. I don't think I've ever had them though.
I don't know what they really, you know what? It doesn't matter. Anyway.
It just makes me think of Hell's Kitchen.
So he's like vibing in his like apartment, which is like a swanky apartment, I guess. He turns around, there's fire. And he's just like, oh, fuck. Anyway, he gets on the blower.
Yeah, this smoke's coming under the door. Yeah.
And I had a point about this. It was like some Scooby-Doo-ass fog. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
smoke it's Scooby-Doo. Machine.
Yeah. It's just like, zoinks.
Yeah.
And like, you know what I mean? Anyway, he's just like, he calls up the emergency responses.
911, what's your emergency, please?
And he goes, hey, there's like a fire coming through my house, rah, rah, rah. And they're just like, oh, are you apartment 1706 and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, yeah. And he's just like, this fire, where he gets like the fire extinguisher out. And I thought, my dumb ass thought he was reaching for a gun. I was like, he's going to shoot the fucking fire. Like, he get up to like the top of his like shoe compartment above like your clothes and shit.
Yeah.
And I was just like, he's pulling out a gun.
Yeah, I had no idea what he's grabbing either.
Yeah. He grabs a fire extinguisher. So that's a bit. That made sense, right? Yeah, that's on me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he tries to put out the fire and it just gets bigger. He's like, and I'm like, oh shit, what's going on here? Anyway, he's like, the smoke's coming in and it's like billowing in and it's like fucking putting on top of him. Like, and he's in a corner. He's like, and you're like, oh fuck, what's happening here? So I'm thinking like telekinetic firepowers, right? Anyway, So the fucking firefighters come in and like, do, 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 do. He's in apartment 1706. So they like come up the stairs.
They're ready for a massive fire,
yeah,
too.
They got like the big hose. They're fucking ready to go. The axes. Boom, boom, boom. Get on the floor. Burst on the door. There's nothing. They walk in there. There's extinguisher powder everywhere. They look around. And then there's the guy dead in the corner. Fucking hard cut. Din, 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 din. Dun, 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 dun. Banger.
Yeah.
That was good. And you're left with like, what the fuck is going on? Pretty freaky.
Something that you didn't mention in the opening scene. One of the firefighters is like, yep, nah, nothing here.
Oh yeah.
Never mind the fucking dead body in the corner.
Dead guy, there's nothing here.
There's nothing here. So that was one number one point here I've got is that's a fucking classic case of someone else's job.
You know,
when you're a painter and you just paint over whatever's fucking there. Like, it wasn't my job to take off that mask and tape. Whatever.
Not my job, brother.
Why not leave it for the police? Why the fuck the fire department got to worry about the dead body for? They do things, they worry about safety first, dead body, and MP.
Yeah, I mean... Like, you're absolutely correct. Their main force is like, fuck, someone's died here. Let's make sure there's not a fire here that's going to kill anyone else.
Yeah. There's probably cops around the corner anyway.
In retrospect, I agree with how it was played out.
This case ends up going to the FBI because...
Do you remember why?
Yeah, I'm trying to think why.
Mulder's in his house. He pulls a newspaper from under his door.
Yes, that's right.
And then a smaller newspaper falls out.
Yep.
Circled.
And he looks into this guy, this judge.
He goes straight to Skinner.
He's died mysteriously, yeah.
Yeah, he goes straight because he needs confirmation to go on the case.
And then the case does get opened,
yeah.
But by some young fella that got his name on it first who really, really likes it. And he says to Mulder that he wants, you know, he wants to believe. He wants to be Mulder's buddy.
Yeah.
Not so much like his buddy, but he wants to be, he appears too keen to me.
Yeah. His name is Alex Krycek.
Krycek, that's the guy.
And he wants to believe, and I believe him.
I don't trust him because Deep Throat said trust no one. And I am not trusting anyone other than Scully and Mulder right now.
Well, just like what Mulder said to Skinner, but we've gone a bit far ahead. But when he's talking to Skinner, he goes, can you trust his source?
Yeah.
And he goes, the source I trusted is dead.
That's right. Yeah. In this episode, he says that too. That's a conversation they have. Yeah. And I think we'll get there, but maybe Skinner can be trusted. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll chat about that later.
So this new guy, fucking trust no one. Don't trust anyone. I'm not trusting anyone except for Mulder and Scully.
So he gets with Krycek.
Yep.
And he's just like, whatever, kid. And Krycek's just like, listen here, cunt. I followed you in the academy. People said you were crazy, but I've been following your work and I want to believe. And Mulder's like, yeah, fine. So they find out that, like, there's, through Grissom, the first guy that died.
Yep.
He, because of, we'll get to that later, but because of what he went through in the Vietnam War, he started a sleep experiment. He got really rich and started a sleep experiment thing. And he got moided. And he was the guy that got killed in the fire.
Yeah.
With no fire.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they follow up on where he worked and he was working on sleep experiments.
Yep.
And then he goes, Scully calls Mulder because she saw that he had a domestic pass flight or whatever. So she calls him and she goes, where are you? And he's like 2 hours away. And he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm in the middle of a class. Because remember, she gets he called her.
Yep.
Through Gary Howe. That was his code name.
Yeah, code name, urgent call for Scully. Now, Mulder, I'm busy right now. Don't worry, I'll send the body to you.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be there before 5.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that happens.
That's how he gets Scully in.
And then they go to the sleep experiments. So this happens beforehand.
Yep.
They go there and they're like, oh, he was working on sleep experiments. And they're talking about like how people don't dream and they use electronic impulses to make people dream so they can like sleep better or whatever. Anyway.
They didn't think much of it. It's like whatever. Okay,
it's
cool,
like,
cool.
Like, Mulder's like, oh, okay, this is really cool because he's into it. He's like, yeah, fuck yeah. I'm in with this. This sounds really cool.
It was at this point that because of what we'd seen on screen of the preacher man, as we know to be preacher later, the central villain of the episode, I guess, if you would want to call him a villain, he automatically appeared to me to be like this kind of X-Man that can make people think things are happening to them and that their bodies think it's so real that it is doing it.
Yeah, my first note was, it's all in this guy's head. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was.
Well,
kind of.
Okay, I'll explain later. Like in like layman's terms for the people at home, what I think the ability is. But for now, so the new guy wants in. Mulder he goes to the sleep experiments. His taxi gets taken away because Krycek knows where he is. And he rocks up with a car and he goes, you need to tell me what the fuck's going on. We're partners now. Like this is like a fucking partnership. I'm like, come on, cunt. And Mulder goes, fine. I understand that you want to be in and you want this. Like I see your passion. Like he used to be, I guess. And I was really pissed off about that in the first place because you could tell like Krycek was just like, I'm here. Like, I want to know. I want to believe. He says that multiple times, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, but do you know what Mulder probably didn't like about that? Because you know how what? He's like, oh yeah, here's the keys. I go get the keys for the car and then he gets a cab to where he wanted to go.
Yeah, the motor pool.
I think when he tried to lay the guilt trip on him, like, you know, oh, everyone else called you this and I'm the one that backed you, you know, trying to lay the guilt trip on him. It's like, yeah. what does Mulder owe him anything for?
Fucking nothing.
Exactly. So he probably knows that. He's very clever, our foxy boy. You know, like no one's going to pull the wool over this guy's eyes.
No.
And I don't think this guy is either. I still don't trust him. And he doesn't trust fucking nobody. He reiterates this a couple of times.
Exactly.
Every episode from now.
The only source I trusted is fucking dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we need to move forward because we're stuck in like the first 10 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, all right. I'll quick fire a couple of points here.
Go. And I'll reiterate.
This guy is pretty much Freddy Krueger made it out of a dream.
Yes.
And he's Freddy Krueger in real life. He's just come to get you to make you dream that you're going to fucking die.
Yes.
We realize what's going on really at the very start of the episode when he murders another guy.
Yeah, Willie.
Yeah, the...
baseball shirt guy.
So we work out that these guys had something happen where they can't sleep.
I can go into detail about that.
Yeah, give us this, because this will really give us the bulk of the episode.
So in 1970, the murderer and all these other people that have been killed were part of an experiment where the government cut into their brains and cut out the part that makes them sleep. So they wouldn't sleep, but they had serotonin pills. So they became like the perfect killing machines. There was a squad of 13, and it had a record of over 4,000 confirmed kills, which is insane. Over the course of like 2 years, from like 68 to 70, oh no, 3 years, 68 to 71.
It's a lot of people.
That's a lot of fucking people.
And they weren't all combatants either.
No. From there, so it's a Vietnam story. So these people had been experimented on, taken their sleep out, and they haven't been able to sleep for 24 years.
So they were made into like super soldiers, green berets, right?
Yeah, literal, they would like that. We'll get to the Matola Sole, but they didn't. They would do 24-hour patrols, and it felt really good because they would just like fucking do whatever they want, and like fucking they were up all the times, like living two lifetimes. But because they didn't sleep, they're starting a little bit cocomundo.
Yeah, the long-term effects on the brain.
Yes, sir.
You might have that serotonin still pumped, but something else isn't wired right, I reckon.
So,
just quickly, a lot of fucking flirting between Mulder and Scully in this episode.
Oh, on the phone?
On the phone.
Oh, it was fuck. I was getting steamy.
It was like teenagers. It was watching teenagers, mate, like hot for each other.
My little fucking cold heart was bumping. I was just like, this is cute.
Oh, do you think Scully's a virgin?
No, because they're both like 34.
Do you think Scully's a virgin at 34?
No, I think she's been, you know, she was with that guy in the woods in the snow that was her mentor. Oh. You know what I'm saying? Jack?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know what you're saying. Okay, all right.
Let's just say
no more.
He was a pipe salesman.
Say no more.
And she was buying.
She was, like that pipe down the...
Yes, sir.
The gunny pipe.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Yes, sir. Anyway.
You'd hope she'd wash her feet first.
Fuck no. The stink probably makes it better.
Oh, yuck, bro. Fuck off.
It probably fucking... Cubs are smaller fucking... Nah.
So they became super soldiers and they were just doing their own thing. They were going crazy in Nam as well.
They were going mad. They didn't report to anyone. They did the dirty with women. They killed children. They fucking killed everyone.
They were Vikings.
They made, like that guy said, they make up their own fucking missions.
Yep.
Which is pretty fucked.
That's so weird. They're like, wow, we're going to go into this school.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to fast. Like, I'm going
to put speed. A stop to learning here.
You can cut this part out, but I'm speed running this.
Yeah.
So the what the black guy says, who's killing everyone, he's essentially, because he can't sleep, but it's not really explained, but he can control what people see through hallucinations and like visual representations.
Yeah.
And he can incur via... telepathic abilities. So say in the first scene where Grissom gets killed by fire, there is no fire, but on his inside of his body, he dies from third degree burns.
Yeah.
Another guy, Willie, who has you see a massive scar, which is like the first inclination of the experiments. He dies from gunshots from Vietnam people.
That's a good way to clear that up.
Yep. Yeah. From the Vietnamese. And that's where we're like, holy fuck, it's a Vietnam story, baby. And which is exciting because I don't think the Vietnam War gets covered enough. It's very looked over because it was not a W for certain people. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, all right, let me get my phone up.
So this guy's on like a rampage to kill anyone that's in. Yeah.
So Preacher, the black guy, has he somehow developed the ability to force people's nightmares on them because they can't sleep anymore. Even the people that haven't been affected by the surgery are still affected by Preacher's somehow psychic powers. So Mulder and Krycek, they narrow him down. There's one guy left, essentially. The main fucking surgeon who did the surgery, Girardi or something. And they get his photo and he's going to be at the train station at a certain time. So they get there and Mulder finds him. He's walking towards him, running towards the crowd, which is strange because like in the frame, he's like maybe 25 meters away. But in like the actual action scene, he's like running for 10 seconds, which is crazy, like through people. And then anyway, suddenly Girardi's there and then the black guy Preacher's behind him. And he's like, put your hands up. And he shoots Girardi in the back and then shoots Mulder. Mulder passes out. And anyway, Krycek rocks up and he's just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yep. Turns out he can get in anyone's head.
Waving your gun out.
Yeah.
Almost killed someone. And then you just fell over. Are you okay?
Yep.
And he's like, no. Girardi and Preacher were here. He goes, you're a fucking idiot. You bring a disgrace.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, I know. But you know what I mean? Yeah. He's just like, what are you doing? I have to, like, You're lucky I don't report this.
That's when we realize it's not just specific people he can do it to. He can do it to anyone. Yeah. But at least he didn't kill him, right?
Exactly. So they end up tracing him down and Preacher pulls out. So there's a whole Vietnamese thing. So they fucked him up in the brain, took out that brain pass. They can't sleep. They went crazy, killed their commanding officer, didn't take orders from no one, made up their own orders, and then killed a whole fucking village of children out of school. And so now the preacher, who was a biblical Christian man, has finally, I guess, snapped in his 24 years of being awake, same as the other survivors who he's now killing, to kill them, to forgive them of their sins, and then kill himself. And that's what happened. Essentially, Mulder catches up with him, tries to talk to him, and he goes, look, I'm tired. And Mulder's just like, I just want a minute of your time. Just a minute. And he goes, okay, fine. And then Krycek rocks up and he's like, he's chill. He's just like, hey, you're right, Mulder. And then he pulls out his gun and he's just like, freeze right there. And then Preacher pulls out a gun, but it's all a dream. Because as Preacher pulls out the gun, it turns to Mulder and Mulder looks at it and it's a book. The book that he was holding. And he's like, stop. And Krycek kills him.
Yeah, because he wants to die. So he's making Krycek think that he has a gun.
And his final words are good night.
Yeah, he's just so tired. And when I said you could call him a villain, but
not really.
I wouldn't call him a villain.
He was like an Avenger.
Yeah, not even an Avenger. He just knew what they did was wrong, but he also knew what was done to them was wrong. So he, I guess, wanted to pay atonement for his sins. He knew he was going to hell anyway, and he just made sure that everyone else was off the planet straight away too.
Yeah, you know who I skipped over?
Well, there's a whole bunch of points that I wanted to get in.
Blackthroat.
Yeah, there's a new Deep Throat guy.
Yeah, Blackthroat.
He's from somewhere. He's kind of the new guy who replaces him.
He's black. His name is Blackthroat.
So there must have been someone telling Deepthroat he has to go do it.
I think he was black. Blackthroat was Deepthroat's associate.
Associate?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now he has to do it himself kind of thing.
Yeah, because he probably found all Deepthroat's files and Blackthroat was just like, oh, fuck, I should probably, if this was like his last wish or whatever, he might have some kind of outstanding circumstance that he held up. Yeah, he upheld.
Yeah.
Something like that. So we meet Blackthroat and he gives him Mulder clues. That's his like source or whatever.
This guy going out and killing his mates, he was quoting when they were killing each other kind of thing, that, an eye for an eye kind of system.
Yeah.
That does not work.
No.
There's no way that works. What do they say? Eye for an eye, world goes blind.
Yeah.
I feel like that's so true. Like, one good deed deserves another is probably a better way to do it. Like, if it's a good thing, do it again. If it's a bad thing, let's stop that. If people are killing people, the answer is not to kill more people.
Mm.
That's why I don't believe in the death penalty too. It's far too final and it's not really your decision to make when you don't have enough evidence. You can't take someone else's life for... Anyway, that's another topic actually. We won't go into it.
No.
The eye for your life system doesn't work, right?
So here's this. They get the top surgeon who did the surgery on all those blokes in 1970. Preacher gets him, ties him up.
Yeah.
And then if you're not aware, he performs the surgery on the doctor.
Yeah. He had scalpel marks at the back of his neck.
And it's glanced over. It just goes straight to Preacher trying to get himself killed.
Yep.
End of episode.
And stand by because... That guy was still alive.
He was still alive.
Mulder came and he's like, he's still alive. He's got a pulse. Now, Scully would have fucking jumped on that and been like, I'm all over this, Mulder. I've got this. You go get him.
Yeah, and like sucked him off.
Yeah, this new guy, trust no one, he's standing there with his dick in his hands like, oh, what do I do? He's like, put some compression on it. Call 911 now.
Yeah, like.
Fucking now, bitch.
Hurry up. Like that time when Mulder got shot, Scully was just like, I'm going to put my jacket on him.
Yeah.
Are you okay, Mulder?
Immediate first aid. Perfect. This guy? Useless.
Useless.
All right. That's enough of me picking on her.
Read the episode.
Just want to say the evidence disappears on this one too.
Oh, yeah. It's a classic. They took
it. And there's more to this episode.
Yeah.
We find out that this new guy.
Krycek.
Krycek's dodgy.
He's working for the smoking man.
He's working for the fucking smoking man.
Fucking traitor.
We knew it.
Cunt.
Bullshit.
This bullshit fucking artist.
I knew it the whole time. I was like, yep, trust no one. I'm glad I did. Because it made me, I don't think I've felt this in an episode before, but I felt smug.
Smug?
Yeah. I felt smug because I was like, I knew he was dirty for the minute he was in this show.
Look, I'm aware of Krycek.
Oh, you knew about him before?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had no idea, but I felt
But I don't know Krychek's origins. I just remember Krychek from a certain point.
Okay. Maybe he comes good, maybe whatever. I just knew he wasn't in Mulder's best interest there.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was working for the Smoking Man.
Right.
We have to rate, unless you got points.
Yeah, let's rate this episode.
Okay, I'll go first. I give it a 86. Ooh, very good episode.
Very good.
It was like, even though we like skimmed over a few things, but for regular pod listeners, there was a lot of scraps. But it's a very good episode. Episode 4 is very good. I think it's a top 85. 85, 84.
85 or 84 or 86? Because you've given 84.
Good, but not great.
Okay.
That's my mark. Yeah.
I'm going to give this episode 75 out of 100 Scullies.
Really?
Yeah. It was a very nice episode to watch. I enjoyed parts of it. It was a little predictable, which, you know, I guess it's a Vietnam type thing. And there's been so many of those that I've seen in the past. It's kind of, you know, it's gonna feel that way. But I think you'd have to have seen all the other X-File episodes to enjoy this one.
Yeah. All right, next episode.
Yep.
Episode 5, Dwayne Barry. Opening scene, baby.
We're in a homeless house somewhere.
No, we're in the burbs, baby.
Yeah, it feels like a homeless house the way his house is decorated. All right, we're in the burbs.
Ladies and gentlemen, picture this.
I'm picturing it.
June 3rd, 1985. Young man, Dwayne Barry, in his room. He's sleeping. His dog, on the couch, wakes up and goes, "Oh, man, I really want to be with my master, with my father." Jumps on the bed. The TV's on. He's watching, like, some old, like, I guess, at this point, 80s movie. No, it was black and white, so probably a 50s movie. The dog's watching it, falls asleep. Boom, turns to static. The dog gets up. Oh, what the fuck? He runs outside. White light in the room. Dwayne wakes up. No. He starts freaking out. The white light everywhere. It's covering the whole fucking house. It's crazy. The dog's at the front barking. The dog just somehow opened the front door and left, but never mind. He's barking at the front. Dwayne goes, "Oh, fuck." And there was fucking aliens everywhere. These little fucking, you can't see them at this point. But all these, like, it's assumed aliens. And he goes, "Oh, fuck, not again." Fucking banger.
Yeah, man.
So good.
There's
such a good opener.
This poor dude, there's aliens banging on the screens around him. He's inside the ship at that point, I think.
My point is alien orgy.
It's a Bukkake, bro.
Oh my god.
There was one-way traffic here. It was them dumping on him.
Yeah.
And boy, if true,
yeah,
he has some wild stories.
And it's not his first rodeo.
No.
Not again.
Fucking poor fucking fucker. Oh my god.
What about his dog? That's what they never followed up on.
Nah, the dog's gone. The dog's still in the house, I'm assuming, because he's, you know, the abduction is almost instant, right?
Yeah, but he came back. But then he was crazy, apparently.
But then he keeps getting abducted.
Yeah.
And it's instant. It's that time lapse, but he's remembering what's going on.
So is this, between us,
yeah,
is this undoubtedly the best opener?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This opener was great. I
think this is the 10 out of 10
best opener so far. I gave this episode 10 out of 10 on opening, yeah, for sure.
100%. It's such a fucking banger. It shocks you. You're like, what the fuck's going on?
I've actually begun to really look forward and enjoy the openers. Like, I do rate them inside my own head, eh? Sadly, I took a lot of notes for all these episodes, so try to bang through some of these to get some really funny points if I can. But I did mention that even though it was suburbia, it looked like a homeless house, dude. It looked a bit rough. It looked bad. His name's Dwayne Barry.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know that his name was Dwayne Barry, he'd tell you about it.
I tell you what, 9 years later, he'll fucking tell you.
Because Dwayne Barry likes doing this. It was a weird thing to talk. They never really explained it.
Well, he's in a psychiatric asylum.
Yeah, but just because someone talks about themselves in a third person doesn't mean they're crazy. There's usually a reason why they do it. Listen, like disassociation and things like that.
Have you seen The Other Guys?
In the asylum?
No, The Other Guys. The movie with Will Ferrell?
Yes.
Gator's bitches better be wearing jimmies.
Gator needs his motherfucking gat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just
power
like a
move.
Power move. He knows that he's special, ooh, but like he's like fucked in the head about it.
That's not a bad theory.
So Dwayne Barry has been abducted 9 years earlier from what we've seen from the opening. He's in a insane asylum and he's decided to not take his meds. He hasn't been taking his meds.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to.
No, because they make him weird.
They make him feel weird. And I understand how it is because the psych pills do make you feel like that. Then the counselor's chatting back at him and being like, no, mate, you got to take these. Because you're violent without them. And it's he's really condescending and doesn't really help him understand why he should be taking the medication. He should be listening to him and try different meds maybe.
Yeah, he's like really dismissive of Dwayne Barry.
He's very dismissive of Dwayne Barry. Can I just walk us back to that opening? I want to read to you my note that I wrote. Heartbeat, dot, 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 not again, dot, dot, dot. Can't breathe. Aliens doing this Bukkake abduction. Greatest opening ever.
Yes, sir.
How good, you fucking headbutted the mic.
Yeah, I did.
How good is that?
It was a banger. It was the best opening yet.
Yeah. Sorry. Go back to where you were.
Well, we're going to shoot forward.
But when he was acting to the doctor about, before he abducted the doctor, took him by knife.
Yeah, well, that's
to
what
make him
that's
hostage.
What I'm getting to, yeah.
Oh, he does that. Sorry, I ruined that.
Yeah.
Just before he takes his gun, takes the gun and takes him hostage, he's rocking back and forth. He's the worst looking, trying to be crazy acting I've seen ever.
It's like,
I didn't appreciate, it was terrible. It was so cliche.
It's so cliche, but then he's just like, the way he talks about it and like, and then the shit that you see, you're just like, oh fuck, maybe he's not crazy. But then later you're like, oh, maybe he is actually crazy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense. Anyway, so the doctor's just like, I'm going to put you to sleep.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't sleep. He's like, I'm going to put you to sleep.
He was going to help him, maybe.
He's going to help him. He's going to make him get some rest because he started freaking. He's like, I'm going to get abducted again. I can feel it. I can feel it. And the psychiatrist is just like, yeah, man, I'll give you some pill. I'll give you like a shot to make you go to sleep. And then Dwayne Barry's just like, oh, fuck no. He's like, the psychiatrist turns his back to get like the syringe ready. He runs to a fucking guard, steals the psychiatrist's pen, stabs the guard, takes his gun, and then takes the fucking psychiatrist hostage and then goes to a fucking pharmacy based. Anyway, cut to Mulder swimming.
I was hoping that was him swimming because I saw the dick togs, the red dick togs. Dick togs. When I saw those red dick togs, that sounds better.
So we cut to...
Saw them red dick togs.
August 7th, 1994.
Yeah, the red dick togs. Talk about him. He jumps out of the pool. What do you see?
So Duchovny is like 90s ripped. He's ripped. Really skinny.
Washboard ripped, baby.
Yeah, but he's super skinny.
No,
he is.
Okay, yeah.
He is.
Super skinny, no.
It's like, it's before, okay, this is before.
He looks like an ice hockey player.
No, he doesn't. He's so skinny.
No, ice hockey players are quite like athletic, but not ripped.
But he's only here. He looks ripped because he's skinny. This is before Brad Pitt Fight Club.
Oh yeah, it's before that standard. For sure. Yeah,
like this is skinny guy has abs, and you go, oh, he's a good looking guy, but he's just really skinny.
All right, so he was definitely making a magazine cover with that shot, though.
Oh yeah, with that hair when he came out of the pool. Fuck off.
Yeah, he was like a boy band boy.
Anyway, so Mulder gets informed that some guy has people hostages. He has hostages, and he needs to talk to someone that knows about aliens. And that's where the FBI brings in Mulder.
Yeah, you said that they were asking for him, hey, like specifically.
Yeah, they were asking for someone about aliens specifically, and that's why Mulder got involved.
It would be handy to have someone negotiate who's a specific person that's into that, like, field of, you know, not necessarily aliens, but if it was, you know, if I had some dude who was like a employee that got screwed over working for a
Yeah.
Per se, I'll beep out the word of where it was actually. But yeah, like if there was a hostage person having an abduction at B***s, I would, and you know, if he had a grievance with B***s, I would ask them to bring in a B***s employee to help me hostage negotiate. That's what I was getting at.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Imagine me. Listen here, mate. Just give me back me mate and she'd be right.
No, because they've worked at Bunnings before, so you understand where they're coming from. You can identify with this Bunnings employee gone crazy.
If the negotiator was a Bunnings person.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying. Like, I can see why the FBI brought him in. It's fucking a handy situation.
Anyway, so he has hostages and he wants to talk to someone who knows about aliens.
Yep.
because he believes that his abductions are real, and it's brought forward by Scully that he's been shot in the head in a certain part of his brain that eliminates moral capacity.
Yeah.
And there's a case from the 1800s where the same thing happened. He made like these outlandish claims, whatever.
But they didn't really match this guy's behavior. I didn't think they did. Like, it matched the behavior he demonstrated then and there, but it didn't really match his behavior of saying that he was abducted and being upset.
Okay, it gets deeper than that.
Yeah.
Because once we figure out that, like, Dwayne might be a bit crazy because of this injury, it's...
I didn't believe it for a second.
Scully finds out that Dwayne Barry was originally FBI.
Yeah.
And he, I guess you would say, discharged in 1982, and he was abducted in 1985.
Yep. So there was, like, 3 years after he discharged.
Yeah.
He got abducted, but they are suggesting that the abduction was him committing suicide in the woods with his own firearm.
No, not the abduction. So he was discharged because he was found in the woods with his own weapon shooting him in the head.
Yeah.
Which means they thought he tried to commit suicide in the woods, so they discharged him. But what it comes to...
I thought it was the 3 years after he did that, damn.
No.
That was my bad. 3 years after was
when he got caught in the bed with the dog. So it comes out to turn out to be that he was abducted in 1982, got back from the abduction, tried to kill himself, didn't succeed, and then got abducted again.
This guy's sick of being abducted as well.
Yeah. Not again.
Not again. Because they are... Like, at first I was joking about the Bukkake... But the further the episode went, the more I realized this guy's literally taking green men's for their enjoyment.
So that's the background. So anyway, Mulder gets on the case and he's the hostage negotiator. So he's just like, hey, let the women go or whatever. And suddenly there's a flashing light, this blinding fucking light, like an alien abduction. So there's this blinding flash of light. Everyone sees it. They're all blinded. And there's gunshots from the pharmacy across the road where Mulder's at. And Dwayne Barry has... It's been implied that he's fighting off aliens. Everyone saw this flash of light, so he's not crazy. There's gunshots. And then Mulder calls him again and says, like, someone has been shot. Because he was shooting aliens and he accidentally shot one of the hostages. He's not crazy. He's not crazy, by the way.
Hey, whoops. We just want to know if anyone's been shot. Yeah, you're going to need
you're going to need that doctor. So Mulder pretends to be a doctor and he gets this fucking 007 super spy technology. It's fucking so shit.
I did have a question with this. Was he actually pretending to be a doctor or did he know that he was coming in because he was an FBI agent that he was talking to?
Well, the person that with him, the black guy, was an actual MET.
Yeah, EMT. But... I'm confused because he seemed to understand that he was the FBI agent, but he also seemed to understand and believe that he's wearing the paramedic's uniform. So a bit of a fucking whoopsie, I think.
No, not a whoopsie, because the way that Mulder initiated the hostage situation is that he came from a point where he wants to know if everyone's okay, which an EMT would, because if he could know that something was wrong, he would want medical attention there. And that's how he originally focused the conversation and then brought it to what he was talking about.
I get it. Yep. You've convinced me.
Yeah. So I think Mulder played that quite well. It's a small detail, but it goes a long way. If like for the plot, it does. So Mulder dresses up like an EMT, goes in, he has an actual EMT with him, and Mulder just talks to Dwayne Barry and they're chatting. The guy that got shot gets taken out and eventually the woman gets shot. They share some like details between each other. And then Scully comes in.
Whoa, the woman got shot?
No, the women get...
Released.
Released,
right.
Sorry.
Yep, no, that's all right. No, that's all right.
Scully at some point comes in and talks to Mulder and says, listen, this guy has been shot in the head. He's fucking a pathological liar, et cetera, et cetera. And Mulder's just like, it seems he already knows, but he also believes at the same time because they're talking the same language.
Do you think maybe even though Mulder believes that he's... believes it, there is no chance that anyone will believe him because he has a fucked up head from a bullet and anything he's going to say will be discounted by the people who already discount sane people.
Yeah.
So he's just like, fuck it.
You know why? Because there's the precedence.
Yeah, exactly. He's seen it. He's been there, done that. It's what you call experience.
Yeah, well, there's a case that already had the same infliction 100 years beforehand as a precedence.
Yep.
So they would just say it fucked up this part of his temporal lobe or whatever.
Despite record keeping in the 1880s about mental health and bullet wounds to the head, probably pretty shit.
Yeah. They have no idea.
The montage of Mulder getting wired up was amazing. If there's obviously there's a massive James Bond theme going on in Hollywood at that time, and they lent into that. Oh yeah, hard. It was good. I enjoyed it, bro.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was quite funny.
It was. There's no way it would. I mean, the technology like that doesn't even exist now. At that level, anyway. I knew he was going to tell this guy that he believed him as well. Like instantly, you know, when he's about to go in and that. The chick who's running it is like, don't buy into his bullshit. That's dangerous.
Yeah, Amanda Waller from Suicide Squad.
Yeah, he was going to tell that dude from the start, hey, bro, I believe you. Just ignoring everything she said to him on the way in.
Oh, yeah, he was actively ignoring her.
You know those headsets they're all wearing at the in their little call center base?
Yeah, I did that.
So those call center headsets, they're the exact same ones that I used when I first started at a call center.
Yeah, they're the ones I used at the ATO.
Oh, bro, I was getting PTSD from that. I just felt chained to my desk in that job.
So we cut to Mulder's got it. Mulder negotiates all the hostages out, essentially. And he goes to Dwayne. He goes, hey, Dwayne, you need to lock the front door because you didn't lock it when you let everyone else out. And Dwayne goes, oh, fuck, you're right. And he goes to lock the door and he gets shot. And they shoot Dwayne Barry.
Well, so here's the thing, right? You see a red dot come up on this guy's chest and cut to black for about 5 seconds of black with a little bit of noise of the SWAT interaction. And then you see him carted away in a on the ambulance bed. I was thinking, my note says, boy, did they fucking skimp on that one. Just literally black, 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No SWAT break in.
Yeah. I remember the black scene. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they cheaped out. Each abduction case must be a little bit different. The conversation that he had with Mulder in that basement area, or wherever he was.
In the pharmacy,
yeah. It was like, how was your abduction? Because Mulder's seen so many different ones, and they all happened differently.
In the car, in your bedroom, you couldn't breathe.
Yeah, were they tall? Were they short?
Yeah.
Could you move? And they talked about aliens and that telepathic thinking, like they're telling you it's okay, and they're telling you shh. I kind of thought of like, they kind of treat us like fish that they've captured, well, and they're tagging and implanting things in us. Like, we're just meatballs to them.
Yeah, and Dwayne goes on to explain that he had his teeth drilled in, he had stuff put in his abdomen, in his sinuses, in his brain, in his neck, multiple things drilled.
The nose candy.
That's the nose candy from episode one.
Mm.
And Mulder's like, yeah, whatever. Like, not like, yeah, whatever. He's trying to talk to him, but it's getting worse and worse because he tells him to lock the door and then the government shoot him.
Yep.
So Dwayne Barry's in a coma.
Yep.
Because they fucking shot him in the chest.
Yep.
Near his heart.
Yep.
Idiot. While they're operating on Dwayne Barry, they find metal in his sinuses, in his abdomen, in his neck, in all the other places that he said. Scully ends up getting a piece of the metal from his abdomen.
Yep.
And she's like, she has it in like a little like glass tube or whatever.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's just shrapnel, whatever. Yep. We'll test it just to peace of mind.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be done straight away.
She takes it to like a forensic scientist. And he's just like, oh, yeah. He's just like, yeah, like on a micron scale, it looks like a barcode. Like it's like someone's like, it's impossible for us, but it looks like
tiny,
someone's like
tiny etching.
Tiny, like, yeah. Like within 10 of a micron or whatever they said.
Yep.
And Scully's like, oh, that's crazy. Anyway, so she's at the shops later. She's getting some stuff, like some groceries or whatever. The person that's serving her walks away and she decides to scan the barcode from the alien metal. Oh, not alien, but like from the guy's nose, and it sets off everything. It's like, meow, 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 meow.
That's a pretty dumb idea.
Oh, yeah, she's dumb as fuck.
Can you imagine the security footage when they look that back?
She's like, huh? Oh!
She literally like is checking around like, oh, is anyone looking and scan something.
Yeah.
Everything goes crazy in the store.
Yeah.
And she's just like, well, I'm going to fucking walk off here. So see you later. Pretend nothing happened.
So as Scully scans the piece of metal, at the exact same time, Dwayne Barry awakes from his coma. He gets up and he leaves.
Yeah, it's wild, hey?
Yeah.
It took me a second or two to like sort of put that together that that's what had happened.
Scully gets home, calls Mulder's phone, but he's not home, so leaves a message.
On the landline.
Yeah.
This silly woman.
Yeah,
on the fucking landline.
Yeah, you think she'd know better.
Oh.
But if she's doing that, he must have some kind of like, probably not. It doesn't matter. Anyway.
Too important, maybe.
Yeah. So she's just like, hey, it's Scully. Look, I,
hey, it's Scully, like Mulder.
I took the metal from like that guy's abdomen. And then I was at the grocery store getting makeup and I scanned it. And it was like a serial number came up, but it was not like human.
Honey, it was not free, babe. It was not free. I do not even know.
Scully's like, I think this medal was, it's in there to catalog him. Anyway, at the same time, fucking Dwayne Barry breaks into Scully's place, starts manhandling her, and all you hear is like, ah, Mulder, help, help, help. And then it cuts. To be continued. Guess what, motherfucker? It's a two-parter.
It's a two-parter.
Hey, it's me. I'm from New York. It's a two-parter. Come on.
That was really exciting.
It was.
I kind of thought it was either going to wrap up really fucking quickly or
yeah,
not at all.
Yeah, we thought it was over when he got shot.
Yeah.
Because they cut
that
the
was it. And it was, yeah, but fuck, they kept going.
They kept going and going and going. It
Dwayne
was great.
Barry likes a second episode.
Oh, he does. Maybe even a third. Who knows?
Can I just go back to the fact that the aliens would treat us like fish?
Yeah.
I can totally see it from their perspective. Like, they wouldn't really see us as an intelligent creature. But, like, imagine with Yuki, for instance, me puppy.
Yeah.
When I take him to the vet and he's sore, like he's got a cut paw or something, I do the soothing, like, it's okay, bud. It's okay, but he's like, you're fucking hurting me, bruh.
Yeah. When Jose cracks nails, it's really hard.
Mm.
So I have to, like, soothe him down and be like, it's okay. And I have to hold him while like they fucking like,
because he's so strong and wiry.
Yeah.
And when he's like is scared,
yeah,
there's a lot to hold on to.
Yeah. And the worst part is that he looks into my eyes and I just look at him. I'm like, it's okay. I like, trust me, this is for your better. Trust me, brother.
His eyebrows too, when he does that, like, oh, what have I done? What are you doing? Come on, I trusted you.
What have I done to deserve this? It's so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But necessary.
Yeah. I think aliens would just see it like that. And unfortunately, he had the ones that really liked him.
Oh, yeah. They liked him.
They kept coming back.
They came back for thirds.
Yeah. Do you know what? Dwayne Barry is probably a donator of semen to those aliens. And I'll come back to that in the next episode. Let's rate this one.
Okay, you go first.
This one is pretty special to me, I think. There's so much in this episode that I think screams X-Files. And I was like, this is fucking X-Files, baby. I'm going to stamp this one with 98. Boom.
Holy shit, a 98?
Yeah, wham, 98 Scullies. Fucking 98 stinky feet out there.
Oh, shit.
No socks, baby. 98s.
I give it...
98 grippers.
I give it like a solid 96. It's great. Best opener. Great story. And it's a fucking two-parter.
Like, this was X-Files. If every episode was about different species of aliens doing different things to different people, and Mulder just never really finding out concrete evidence that he can bring to the public, that'd be fucking great.
Scully gets to see, but Mulder's just like, oh, but Scully, you fucking bitch. Why can't I be fucking abducted, you fucking whore?
Mulder is desperate to get abducted, isn't he?
He wants to be touched again.
And that happens in this episode coming up here.
Yes, sir.
All right. Did you want to give a rundown of this episode again?
We open up. It's fucking Dwayne Barry driving a car. He's listening to the Peaky Blinders opening. If you know, you know.
Loud as well.
Yeah, very loud.
Can we play that on the pod?
Nah. The MCA.
What if I just sped it up a fraction?
Nah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, a cop pulls him up. So the cop has a old school dash cam. So he has a camera in the front of his car and he has to go manually turn it on. Anyway, he rocks up there. He's like, hey... license and registration, home dog. And Dwayne Barry's just like, listen here, cunt. I've got somewhere to be. And he's smashing the fucking radio. And the cop's just like, can you turn the radio off? I can't hear you, man. And Dwayne's like, I got somewhere to be, dude. And the cop's like, listen, you either turn the radio off or you come with me, cunt. And Dwayne's like, fine, I'll turn the radio off. He turns the radio off and he's like, listen, I really have somewhere to be. And he's like, where are you going? And Dwayne's like, oh, I don't know. And the cop's like, yeah, righto. And then, because Scully's in the trunk, she fucking smashes on the trunk. And he's like, oh, what's that? And looks towards the trunk, and Dwayne Barry pulls out a gun, kills the cop, speeds off.
Yeah.
Guess what, cunt? Get fucked.
So good, eh?
Yeah.
At the beginning of this episode, Mulder and Skinner are talking so close, they would be able to smell each other's breath. I can't remember the context of their conversation. But that was my first point of this episode, and so it must have been early. They were obviously having a confrontation. Oh, it was about him returning the report of what happened, because at the end of that last episode, Scully was missing and they grabbed him, took him back.
Yeah.
In the interrogation room, Mulder is told at the beginning of this episode or at the end of the episode of the last one, I can't remember. It all molds together right now. It all molders together.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, Scully's abducted, cunts. Fucking, she's gone. I don't have to be abducted anymore. And I'm thinking maybe he won't feel so crazy anymore. Like, he doesn't have to fear them coming.
Yeah.
That's kind of the feeling and the vibe that I got from that. So Mulder was definitely upset that he didn't get abducted, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He wants to be abducted again because he wants to fight his sister.
And there was a flash of a UFO in this scene of the abduction kind of thing, but then it turned out to be a helicopter.
Yeah.
But was it a helicopter? Was it maybe both? And then there was that freeze in time. Because there was a freeze in time at the hospital as well. There's lots of times that has stopped for everyone there.
Oh, yeah.
Flashes of light and stop time. But they don't really explain any more about it.
No, they just fucking let it go. They're just like, you see a helicopter before a helicopter. And then you're just like, oh, it must have been a helicopter. But then Scully's actually missing. Like, what the fuck?
Do you remember the line that he said in the opener? You don't stop Dwayne Barry. Fucking pulls out the gun, bang. You know, it's dubbed Dwayne Barry.
Deny everything.
Oh, yeah, that was at the opener.
Yeah, so they changed the opener of the X-Files. At the end, instead of saying, I want to believe, it says, deny everything.
I liked that.
It was very cool.
And when you watch as many as we watch probably more than the common man of X-Files right now, we'd probably pick up on little things like that because week to week, you can miss tiny details.
Yeah.
But three in a row, you kind of pick up a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Why did he check the boot? Actually, I'll clarify why I'm about to talk about this. In the dash cam footage of the cop who pulled over Scully's abductor.
Yeah.
We notice he kills the cop, gets out of his car, and then he checks his boot, like what's in the trunk of his car.
Yeah, why stop to check?
Why didn't he just drive off? I mean, he was obviously using the music, I guess, to cover her noises. But when he did turn it down, she wasn't making any noises. So maybe he was checking that she was alive still.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he needs live bait, right? You don't want your worms to die on the way to the port.
No, you don't.
That would be sad. Have you ever seen Mulder intimidate someone?
He did,
He was chasing Scully up the mountain and they had to go to the ski lift operator bloke. And he's like, no, I can't help you guys.
No, it was Mulder and Kerchak.
Yeah. Yeah, Mulder and him.
And he fucking pulls out a gun.
Yeah, pulls out his gun. He's like, well, I think you are going to work today and you are going to operate those things. He's like, I'm not responsible for anyone dying.
Just fucking get that lift working. We got new cables. It's experimental. Listen here, I've got a gun and I'm from the FBI and you better fucking start this cable, motherfucker. Because my wife's up there. My future wife's up there and I need to save her.
And then we definitely know that Krycek's fucking dodgy.
Well, yeah, he's like, Krycek is like a traitor cunt.
He kills the operator. Fucking wham.
Yeah, he knocks him out and probably kills him. And then
he does kill him.
He waits till Mulder almost gets to the top.
Yep.
Stops the thing.
Yep.
And then Mulder's just like, okay, I'm just going to crawl out because I'm almost there. And then starts it up again to kill him. But then Mulder's just perfectly fine.
Luckily.
And makes Mulder get there almost just in time.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense. And then bish bash bosh, Scully gets taken by an alien, but then there's like a Black Hawk helicopter chopper.
Yep.
And then gets Dwayne Barry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's well summed up, actually. Was that the end of last episode or the beginning of this episode?
No, and then they get him to the interrogation room. Mulder interrogates him. He's just like, yeah, they took him. They took her.
Yeah, it started with the abduction.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Cool.
They took her, rah, rah, rah. And Mulder's just like, he can't get anything out of him. So he's just like, he goes to Kershaw, he's like, don't fucking let any cunt in this room except me. And he goes to like take a piss or get a coffee or whatever. Comes back, Kershaw's in the room. He's like, listen, wait, listen here. I fucking told you no one in this room except me. And he goes, well, why you? Because I'm the only one I can trust.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they leave the room. Fucking Dwayne Barry dies.
Yeah. Yep. He, the one time he said, yeah, watch him, instead of don't go in this room, he killed him. And he insinuates later in the episode to the smoking man that, as we know, that he's working with him. Yeah, he says, like, you know, for what I've done, I thought you guys do just kill cunts.
Yeah. And then at that meeting, he goes, the smoking man's like, has Mulder found another source?
Yeah.
And then Kerchik goes, well, has another source found Mulder?
Yeah. Could be either one.
Exactly. Oh, okay. So Blackthroat returns. So Blackthroat gets back in contact with Mulder and says, listen, cunt, like we're not buddies. All right. I'm only doing this because I was an associate with Deep Throat.
Yep.
And Mulder goes, yeah, fine. But I need fucking clues. He goes, well, you can find them out yourself. Just do this. So Mulder goes to Kerchak. He goes, hey, can I borrow your car? I need to go somewhere to go check something. And before this instance, Kerchak was in his car with the smoking man and he was smashing diaries in his car. I put him in because obviously 90s car, especially in 94, they had ashtrays that you could hide away. So he's smashing diaries in Kerchak's car and puts him in the ashtray and he goes, yeah, whatever. Just make sure, like, if you have the chance, like, fucking kill Scully or kill Mulder, essentially. And he goes, yeah, sure. But I think he's kind of against it. So Mulder takes Kerchak's car and he didn't shut the fucking ashtray. He sees the diaries and Mulder's just like, oh.
There's only one person that I know that smokes these bad boys. He would know the smell of them too.
Yeah. He goes, Kerchak's a traitor. He's been a traitor since now, blah, blah, blah. And he goes to Skinner, says all this shit. And Skinner's just like, he looks around. He goes,
you better have some shit to cover yourself here. Prove it.
He talks all the shit and Skinner believes. He's just like, oh, I believe, but I need concrete evidence. Like, I need something to put these fucking weird black agency projects away.
Yeah, he knows that something dodgy is up, but he's got like, there's not really enough evidence other than what this weirdo keeps claiming to him.
Yeah.
Because everyone said that he's weird. So he's like, I'll give him a chance and I'll just see what he's got. And then now Mulder's about to submit this wacky report that there's another FBI agent that's probably working with someone else that's killed this witness. Yeah.
And that's when Skinner goes, oh, yeah, Krycek's completely disappeared.
Yep. Yeah, he calls him into the office. Because I was like, you can't bring him in. Like, the accusations he's made about killing someone, I don't think you could probably assume that's a good idea to bring them both in the same room together. But he was going to do it anyway. But turns out he's disappeared. He didn't come into work. And his phone number's disconnected.
Yeah, disconnected.
They're thorough, the FBI.
And then Skinner officially reopens the X-Files.
Yeah.
We're back, baby, except we don't know where Scully is. And from, like, an alien perspective, she got pregnant.
We saw someone getting pregnant by aliens. Could we confirm that it was Scully?
Yeah, it was Scully because we had the red hair.
Ah, yes.
Because that's...
Yeah, like, that was enough. Yeah. No, you're right.
She's definitely... Like I said in the first episode of season two, Scully has gotten fat and that's because she's probably pregnant.
This would be a good cover too. What an exciting way to do it. It's what the X-Files should have been kind of... It's a lot more fantastical than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I kind of thought, you know, the Bigfoot episode and those kind of things, that were good episodes, but not as good as these ones have been.
Nah, these were fucking bangers. Like, I don't think us talking about them do them justice. I think season two has been like a fucking two-parter.
Two-parter.
Are you kidding me? And it's a fucking banger. And it might be a three-parter because nothing gets fucking resolved.
They were going to put the FBI agents on a lie detector to prove that they were telling the truth about what they're saying.
Yeah, Mulder's just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but lie detectors don't mean shit anyway.
Nah, it's like...
They're completely inadmissible and they've never been admissible in court.
Yeah.
They're influential and that's it.
All right, what do you think about this episode? Give me a rating.
Well, I wanted to see the dead guy's nose candy, for starters, and the forensic person... The biopsy person said, no, we don't do it that far.
No.
So that evidence is gone.
Disappeared. Crazy.
Have you seen Prison Break?
No.
Oh, fuck. Are you familiar with a character called Teabag from Prison Break? And he holds out his pocket innards to young fellas to, you know, take my pocket boy.
No.
And I'll look after you, if you know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Have you heard of that at all?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so...
Like a pocket bitch.
Yeah, the smoking man's pocket bitch.
Yeah.
Is this new fella.
Oh, yeah, Kerchak. Yeah.
He's realizing he doesn't want to be where he is. Like he's on the wrong side of the fence, I think he's seen. But he's holding his pocket, you know?
Yeah.
He's putting food in his mouth, so to speak.
The worst thing about this series of episodes is poor Mrs. Scully doesn't know where her daughter is.
She's in the same boat as Mulder, so they're kind of like kindred spirits in that sense now.
Oh, I just feel really bad because I'm just like, ah, damn.
Mm. Did you think Mulder's going to get a new hot little forensic woman for replacing Scully?
No. He's going to fucking find Scully.
Well, the X-Files is open, but she's not there to help.
What?
So
tell you what, she's not fucking open anymore. There's a fucking alien hybrid baby inside of her.
He needs some kind of doctor person around to help, you know.
Regulate that frustration.
You know, poke holes in his theories.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
sexual frustration.
No. That's all Scully.
Because Mary Jane was great for Spider-Man.
No, Scully is like way
better. And then comes along Gwen.
No.
The blonde. No. Is it time for a love twist?
No. It never happens. It's the 90s. They don't think like that.
Okay.
She'll come back next episode. She'll wind up in a bush somewhere and they'll find her. She'll be pregnant. She'll have a baby. And it'll be fine. But it's actually like a fucking hybrid or whatever.
So would you say that this could be Dwayne's child? Potentially they keep going to him. They would have quantities of his semen.
No, I think it's like...
And then they use that to pregnant Scully.
Nah, because they pumped her up with like a cylinder.
Yeah. You reckon it's an alien body, like a hybrid coming out. Mm.
Yeah. Like a pure hybrid.
That's unfortunate for her because that gives me Predator vibes. Like you're kind of just a host rather than a mother.
Yeah.
So sad for Scully. Her first time's not going to be as good as it could be.
No, she hasn't even fucked Mulder, so.
And that's all right.
Well, let's rate the episode.
The sexual tension sometimes is better than the sex itself.
I guess. Anyway, what do you rate the episode?
Good question. The sound was really good.
Oh, yeah, it sounded like IMAX.
I noticed because the stereo that we use is 7.2.1. I don't know. It's the max one, digital Dolby Atmos. It's the name. Ooh. That's the one. It's Dolby Atmos, right? So the speakers we use are Dolby Atmos and it sounded really good all around. The directional sound was great. So that was an upgrade. I think that they've invested more on the X-Files. So I guess it doesn't really have any bearing on the score that I'm going to give this. But there were so many aliens.
Maybe.
There were so many aliens in this episode. And I said,
oh my God, it was fucking crazy.
I said that episodes with aliens in it would all be up in the 90s. And this one I'm going to give a 98 as well.
Wow.
Back-to-back 98s. So, 9898.
Yeah, I'll go for a 96 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were very good, very solid episodes. Perfect.
I was laughing.
A fucking two-parter. It was
crying.
Funny. Crying.
Yeah.
I was shitting. I was coming. I was doing everything.
I had to have a smoke break. I had to have a drink break. I was drinking a lot. Kept my fluids up, you know? Toilet breaks.
Oh, yeah, I was pissing like a mule.
I had a whole packet of Oreos.
What?
Those little mini ones.
Holy shit.
You know, those little mini ones you would take to recess at school.
Hey, it was great. I really enjoyed these three episodes.
Cool. Well, let's end this podcast here.
Yeah.
And I want to go on to a tangent with you after this.
Okay.
But did you have anything to say before we wind up?
No.
We should say something.
Watch the X-Files. It's really good.
How was your week?
It was okay. I met a cute biddy today.
Yeah, and you're going to ask her out. So
yeah, I am. Yep. By contract of...
25 gold coins.
25 gold coins. So I have to do that, which means I have to wait till Monday, which means my nerves will be crazy.
Yep.
So that'll be fun.
Yep.
And then what if she's not working on Monday? I'm going to walk in and be like, hey, is Letitia here?
No, I think they actually open on Saturdays and Sundays. So you've got the opportunity to get it over and done with quicker if you want. No pressure.
It is pressure. I mean, I'm going to do it because I don't want to loot. But anyway, we'll get to that.
That's right. It's like a tooth. It's a tooth extraction. Just worry about it when it happens.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get there. I'll talk to her. But fuck me. Anyway.
Tell her you're a podcast star.
No.
Later.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go. She likes books.
Oh.
I like books.
Does she like audiobooks?
I didn't ask her that.
Okay.
We talked about Jane Austen and stuff like that. I'm going to read... that's so gay. Is it gay?
Tell me. Is what gay?
If I take the Nothing Gold Can Stay poem and I rephrase it to ask her out. Do you remember the poem?
Yeah, not word for word, but Yeah, go for it. It's not gay.
This is the poem.
Actually, it's a little gay. It's a little gay. I would keep it up your sleeve for another time.
Okay, this is the poem. Ready?
Yep. Yeah, no, I'm ready.
Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaves a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes down to day, nothing gold can stay.
I would use that as the line for a rejection.
What?
Like the last two lines. Like if you get the rejection, be like, dust today, nothing gold can stay. C'est la vie, baby.
This chick is very intellectual. Yep. So I need to be intellectual.
Yeah, I think it's a really good date move. Say like when you're on a...
Actually.
When you're on a date somewhere.
Yeah.
And be like, have you heard of this? Like,
that's like a proposal thing, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to do that. I might save that for like...
It's much more deep than a first like, hey, I want to get to know you, baby girl.
No, I can't talk to her like that. She's too smart.
No, I'm just being...
Yeah, okay. You're hyperbole or whatever it's called.
Generalizations, yeah. All right, I want to go on a tangent. Okay. Thanks for your time on this one, though.
Yeah.
All right.
This is the end of the official pod, but the scraps, maybe in multiple parts, will be out either at the end of this or slightly after, maybe even before. It might make no sense. You know what?
Yeah,
if it doesn't make sense, fuck you. Doesn't make sense.
The scraps is like the hair on the floor at the barbershop.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense. There's greys, there's blacks, there's blondes.
The scraps is you've had a big night out on the beers and your mate goes, it's 7:15. He goes, we're going to the horse races today.
Yeah.
Hair of the dog. And you go, oh.
Suit up.
Yeah, okay. I'll have one. But you're not going to have one. You're going to have many.
Yeah. You need to get through the day.
This is the end of the official pod. Official? What the fuck's that? Make sure that you live your life the way you want to live, mate. Don't let nobody tell you what to do or where to do it.
Unless you're trying to do moita or being a hua.
A hua.
A hua.
A hua.
Yeah, it's bad. You should probably, if someone's saying don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen
and
to that.
And if you're doing both, don't be a two-parter.